We're going to talk about God's faithfulness today and our faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word of God to our hearts. Father, we thank you and praise you this day for your faithfulness. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Oh, over the years of time, Lord, you have always been so faithful in helping us all through the troubles of life. Everybody here has had troubles of life, Father. And you see that, but you have always been with us. Oh, glory to God. And we praise you that you're doing a work in our lives, Father, to help us to be faithful also. Hallelujah. And it's only through Christ, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're going to manifest a faithfulness towards God. Hallelujah. Bless this word to our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good, as we said. Hallelujah. The word faithful, it means, you know, we get the English language, and it was interpreted quite a few years ago. You know, the first ones, I think, in 1600, were made into English forms of the Bible, and not many people read it at first. And then gradually over the centuries, people have studied the Word of God. But this word faithful in the Bible, which we're going to see here, it means trustworthy. Think about that. God is trustworthy. We believe in Him, and He's not going to let us down. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful Lord. Hallelujah. It also means something that's sure. That's what faith gives us, isn't it? We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross for our sins. We believe that by believing in that, we have sure foundation. We have sure salvation in the Lord because of faith. And it also means something that is true. So as we have faith, faith is one of the gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians, it mentions that faith is important. And all believers need to have faith. And also the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you say to yourself or to somebody else, I don't have faith. What's wrong? It's because you cannot have faith by yourself. Faith is a characteristic of the life of Christ when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and that life comes in us. That is a characteristic of that life of Christ that is inside of us, in our spirit, that we have faith in God. See, the first one of those gifts of the Spirit that the Lord has. So first we're going to try to establish, and everybody knows this, I know, but we're going to establish the faithfulness of God. So I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, Moses, the leader of the people that led them out of Egypt land and led them over into the land of Canaan where God wanted them to be, and there were so many trials and tests. It took them 40 years, you know, to get over there to the land of promise. We're going to look in chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 6. In this chapter 7, the very first title that my Bible has on that chapter, it says, the command to be separate. In other words, God was helping the children of Israel get out from underneath the Egyptians and all the stuff that was over there. And he's leading them into a land that is wonderful. And Moses wrote all of this before he died. He didn't get to go into the land of Canaan. But he was telling them what God was saying to him, that the Lord was going to be with them and change them. So we're going to begin reading with verse 6. For thou art an holy people. That word also means sacred, but it's when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, as we already mentioned, Christ is in us, and we are a holy people before the Lord. We have an old nature, and all of us can walk in and do some awful things. Human beings that know Jesus don't always yield completely to God. But praise the Lord that he says to them, Moses said to the children of Israel, you are a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Now that word special in the original Greek has a word of peculiar, a peculiar people. And we think of, oh, being peculiar. Sure, they were peculiar. We think that, don't we? But it means that they were different. They were what God chose, and they were different. And so they are a peculiar people unto himself. God chose them because he loved them, and he had ordained this from the very first of the genealogy, getting all down, clear down through to Moses and all the children of Israel that had gone off down to Egypt because of the terrible droughts and all of that that happened in the book of Genesis. But now he says, you are a holy people unto the Lord thy God, a separated people to God, a chosen nation. And that has been true all of the centuries. God, because of their rejection, even in the Old Testament, they did such bad, awful things after God got them into the land of Canaan that he caused terrible problems to come on them. The ones that were called Judah, the two tribes, they got taken away captive into Babylon and had to live over there all that time. And different things that God had, but yet he chose them to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people. It wasn't he looked down and says, boy, that's a great big number of people, so that's the ones I'm going to choose to be my people, my group. But it was because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. He told Abraham that they would be a chosen people in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that he would never forget this. And so that was the promise of God. And he swore that to their fathers. And he says, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. See, this was right after they had gone across the Red Sea, and they had been slaves there in Egypt. And God delivered them by sending Moses back there again, even though he was there as a little baby and in the king's court. I think most of you probably realize that. But if you want to read the first part of Exodus, you'll find out what happened to little baby Moses. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant. That means if he makes an agreement with someone, he keeps that agreement. He doesn't tell us one thing and then say, oh, I don't want to do that. He isn't that type of person. If he makes a covenant, then he is at mercy with them that love him, and he keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So, of course, this is a promise to the Israelites, but especially that verse 9, we want to just stress that. God, the faithful God, that's what we're talking about today, is faithfulness. Now, in Isaiah 49, verse 7, it says, the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, who is referring to Jesus, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Praise the Lord. Because he's faithful, he chose Israel. Even though they were disobedient, they were always doing something. They're in the promised land after God gave them the nation to live in Israel. they began to worship idols. 10 tribes of them went away and had idols that they worshiped, and gods up in the hills and the, under the trees and all these kind of things. And yet God was a faithful God, kept working on them. And he still is. He's still working on Israel. One of these days, Israel will be the chosen, but they're not in the right mood yet. That's why it didn't happen. God is a faithful God. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew and the Old Testament, the word faithful speaks of assurance. In other words, if God says he's going to do something, you can be assured he's going to do that. Every one of us have had experiences in life, things that we cried out to God to help us. And sometimes it seems like he didn't hear. Sometimes it seems like he heard, but he never did work on it, you know. And that's pretty hard sometimes, but I want to witness this to you that there have been many, many times, I can't count on my hands and toes, how many times God was faithful to us. He met our needs. He took us through the hard times. He was there when we needed help. He would come in the hospital room. He would come sitting outside in the waiting room while Roy had all kinds, my husband had all kinds of surgeries. God was always there. He was a faithful God. Hallelujah. God's very nature is love. Let's look in 1 John 4. In the New Testament now, going over to 1 John 4, and we're going to see here what kind of character. We already know now that God is a faithful God, all right? And most of us already know what else he is, because, boy, I tell you, in my lifetime, the Lord has sure been loving to me. He has been a God that loved me, that took care of me through all kinds of circumstances, and I praise him for this. So here we see in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." And I think in the one of the Amplified versions, I believe it says, "is generated by God." It is his nature. So love, it's in one of the translations, it says that. "Let us love one another, for love is of God." So how does God generate love in us? He puts the life of Christ, his son, inside of us when we are receive him as our Savior. Somehow in this body right here, we have Christ in us. That's what the scripture says. And it's a new life, and that life is manifests the love of God. "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God," says, "he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." That is the characteristic of God. And notice in verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." The propitiation for our sins. The word is speaking about mercy or the covering of the altar. It was all through the blood of Christ that we have what we have, the love of God and the faithfulness of God. Let's look again now in 1 Corinthians 1:9. This helps you to learn your Bible. If you didn't know before how to find things, now you'll learn to find them. All right, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians and verse 9. Again, Paul says here, "God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Praise the Lord. What precious thing that is. You know, the Old Testament, the Jews worshiped God, but they didn't know about Jesus yet. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Just think of how precious it is that we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through this faithfulness of God, showing forth all that he wanted us to be. The word fellowship means, in the Greek, it means a partnership. A partnership. Do you ever think about that? How that we are partners with the Lord God? We're partners. We're his children. Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're talking about God, how faithful he is. In a little bit, we're going to talk about how the Lord wants us to be faithful. In 10:13, we read this. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Now, first he tells us we can have problems. This temptation that's all human beings, it seems like it's common to man. All of us have had temptations in our life. We can't say, oh, no, I never had any temptations, because we're all human beings. Temptation is of the human nature. And so he says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. This is a way that God works in us. Isn't it beautiful to think of that? That he's so faithful, he's watching over us all the time. And the devil's tempt us to walk after our flesh or do something that isn't right. The Lord God speaks to us. He uses the Holy Spirit. But he speaks to us that we need to trust in him and keep on believing. He is faithful. He is a faithful God. In the Amplified Version, I'm going to read it to you. I hope you don't get aggravated at me reading the Amplified Version, but all these different, some of them are not very good, but this says this. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power. What has God provided? He's provided the Holy Spirit's power to keep us doing the right things. The Holy Spirit's working in our life all the time and bringing forth the Word of God. As it says here, he causes the ability and strength of resistance and power to endure, but with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means to be a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful, patiently to bear up under it. I know Vicki's gone through a trial with something that just kept going on and on for a while, didn't it? But the Lord took care. So that's the way it is. We have trials and we have temptations and things that happen in our life. And sometimes we may think, Lord, when are you ever going to deliver me from this, you know? But he does. He does. He's so faithful. Glory to God. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Praise the Lord. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Apostle Paul saying this. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord as touching you, that you may both do and will do the things which we command you. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He has, but the Lord is faithful. Praise the Lord. He wants to establish us. You know, you think of something that's stable, like a foundation of a house. You want it to be stable or your house may fall in. Well, the Lord has set fast and strengthened us. And this word establishment, it's what it means, to set us fast. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, can you say it with me? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. His ability, his might, his ability, power and strength. I want to tell you, in case you don't know, and I know you all know, you cannot be strong in yourself.
That's right.
You might think, oh, I can do this. I won't do this anymore. I will do this thing that I know God wants me to be doing and just continue to do the same old thing. Praise the Lord. It's not a good thing. I say praise the Lord, but it is that he shows us in ourselves we can do nothing. Let's go to the Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And we're going to read here about this letting. We used to, when I was in Bible college, they liked to say we had lettuce in the spiritual sense. Okay. Colossians, the third chapter, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Now the Lord is just standing ready to give us peace. You know, we're all human beings, and one of the things that we battle against is being afraid of things, being concerned about things to the point about how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to gain victory? How's my kids going to change? All of these things. But let this word dwell in you, remain there in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let that happen. Let it happen. Notice how many times he says, let. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule. That word means to govern your life. The peace of God. Oh, how many times I've known the peace of God that has come. It's so faithful. He's so faithful. We just think we can't bear it anymore. We can't stand it anymore. And first thing you know, he's just got his arms of love around us, and he's just speaking to us. Things are going to be all right because I am here. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we've been doing this morning, is singing to the Lord, singing and encouraging our hearts. The singing does affect us a lot. Because we're humans, that's the way it is. The singing, and now that we know Jesus as our Savior, the singing just lifts us up. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful, isn't it? Hallelujah. So he says here that let the word dwell in you. That means to inhabit you. In the Greek, it's a word. It means inhabit. Inhabit you. And notice it's richly. Praise the Lord. Copiously is what that word means. Do you know what copious means? It means way, way more than what you need. See, you've got a rich Lord God, and he is working in our lives richly. Oh, and he's teaching us things all the time. Hallelujah. As we yield to him, and we should be, we're becoming more and more like him. A change starts taking place in us, and that's really important. We become a new person. We have a new life. We take on the characteristics of Jesus Christ and of our Father God. What is the main characteristic of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Love. Love is the most important thing, characteristic of the Lord God. That's why he came to this earth, because he loved us so much. I'll look back in, you're in the book of Colossians. Let's go back to chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 26 and 27. And it says that there's a mystery in this dispensation that we live in, this time period that we live in. And it's in verse 26. It says, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, what is he speaking about is that Christ would come and be the Lord over us, that our faith would be real and we would experience all of these beautiful things. As he mentions up in verse 18, that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And you can read this at home. Read all of it through and you'll get a blessing. In verse 26, then, even this mystery, it is a mystery to some people. They don't understand. They don't understand it because they don't study the Word of God. We need to take time to read the Word. And if you don't understand what it says, ask him to show you the way. There's a lot of real good books that help you to figure out what a word is and what it means. Okay, which it says, this mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery over the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word hope, expectation, anticipation. The only way we can anticipate being in heaven is through Jesus Christ. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he has given us eternal salvation. That's what Jesus himself said. Praise the Lord. The Almighty dwells in us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to the book of Galatians. We go backwards to the book of Galatians. Praise the Lord. The book of Galatians chapter 2. This is one of our favorite verses. I hope it's your favorite verse because it's one of mine. Chapter 2 of Galatians verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. Especially when we think of Apostle Paul and think of the trials he was going through. A lot of the things he wrote were from prison, where he had been beaten and tied up and, all of the things that could happen to you there. Dirty, just being dirty and needful, how horrible that was. But to him, praise the Lord, he realized what Christ did on the cross. And he said, I died with Christ. My old nature died with Christ. And now I am a new nature in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I live. Praise the Lord. You do too. Sometimes when we feel like we're not going to make it, we live. Praise the Lord. Because we live by the life of Christ. Yet not I, but it's Christ in me that gives that strength. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Now look over in chapter 5 of Galatians. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:22, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when a believer is saved, we're born again, we have a new life of Christ in us. And that new life of Christ, as we let that manifest in our life, our natural life, it will begin to show these very things that the scripture here is saying. This love that it mentions, notice what it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. He's not talking about our love for our boyfriend or our love for our wife or our husband. He's not talking about not natural love, is what I'm trying to say. We should have a spiritual love for our wife or our husband or whatever. You know, that's a spirit, can become a spiritual love. But praise the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, it comes from the Holy Spirit that comes into our life, and He begins to manifest this beautiful love of God and the joy and the peace and the long suffering. Have you ever had to have long suffering? It's not easy. It isn't easy, is it? How about gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? That means self-control. Against, he says, against such there is no law. There is not anything that can be spoken against these characteristics. If we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, that we manifest these kind of characteristics. And it's so important. I wrote on my notes here, fruit trees bear a particular fruit of their species. There are no walnuts on an apple tree. Jesus used this illustration of the grapevine bearing fruit. Yes, so that's why he says the fruit of the Spirit. These things grow on us, grow in our lives, and grow in us. Hallelujah. I just have three more pages. Praise the Lord. Maybe we'll just cover this another day. But I just want you to all, just again, just keep remembering what the Lord is doing. He's working in our lives. He's working faithfulness in us. Faithfulness means we keep going in spite of trials, in spite of tests. Sometimes we go through something, we think, I cannot stand it. I cannot go. But he then comes into the help and he says, okay, get up. I'm right here with you. I'm holding you up. I'm victory. I'm your strength. Hallelujah.